Now we're holding on page Nun Vav in Sukkah or Islamic Gimel. We were learning about the Yetzer Hara and the various names for it and the various things that it's done for which it deserves eventually, as we learned before, that Hashem is going to take it and shecht it in front of everybody. So now continuing on that topic of Hashem's creation of the Yetzer Hara and other negative things in the world. The Gemara says, Amar Rovin, or Rav Chana, Bar Rav Acha, Amri Bei Rav, they say in the yeshiva, Bei Rav, by the way, literally would mean the house of Rav, so it would mean the yeshiva of Rav. However, there are places in Shas where Rashi points out it doesn't necessarily mean that, it just means in general the yeshiva, either because it was founded by Rav or because Bei Rav in general would mean the house of the Rebbe. Anyway, so he says, so they say in the yeshiva, there are four things which Hashem, so to speak, regrets that he created. Now, how can we talk about Hashem regretting something that he created? Obviously, lo yishkel v'yachaziv, and Hashem doesn't change his mind, and all that. So there's a lot of different points about that. Iyun Yaakov points out on a Balabatasha explanation, fine, you know, we have Dibur Torah, Kolosh Mnei Adam, that it means, in other words, the Gemara is phrasing it in that way, that we should realize that Hashem, that these are things that it would be appropriate to be mescharet on, and like this, it should motivate people to do tshuva, and that way these things no longer have to exist. The Maharal talks about the idea that each of these four things that we're going to list doesn't exist for itself, it exists for the sake of something else. The Gemara is going to mention two nations, the Yetzer Hara and Golus. So none of them exist as it's created as an end in itself. Each one is as a means towards an end. So in that case, we can say on it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu mescharet aleihem in the sense that had it not been for the things for which they need to exist, then Hashem wouldn't have created them in the first place. And therefore, metaphorically, we can speak about Hashem regretting that he created them in the sense that he had to create them as a necessity in order to bring about something else. But they themselves have no particular, in and of themselves, they have no reason to exist. And there's a sicha where the Rebbe talks about the idea behind it. There's also Yerushalmi that mentions the same point and mentions only three out of the four things. It leaves out Golos. So the Rebbe discusses in some detail in a sicha the difference between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, three things versus four, and that Golos is missing over there and it's present here. And the idea that the Rebbe develops over there is that on the one hand, we're saying HaKadosh Baruch Hu mescharet aleihem, as we're saying, they have, so to speak, no right to exist. They ought not to exist, and yet they do. They are creations of Hashem, and that means that we have to extract the most good out of them while we have them. So the Rebbe focuses in particular in that sicha on Golos. On the one hand, we have to realize, since HaKadosh Baruch Hu mescharet, a Yid should never think that his place is in Golos, no matter how comfortable we may be in any one or another phase of Golos. We still have to realize that it's something negative and something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself regrets that it even exists. On the other hand, since Hashem created it, means that there is what to extract from it as long as we are in it. And the same thing with all the other things. So the four things are Elohim, Kastim, the nation of Kastim, from which Nebuchadnezzar came, who destroyed the first Beis Hamikdash, the Yetzer Hara, Yishmael, the nation of Yishmael, the Arabs, and Golos. So Rais Apsukim B'Seder Zeh, so the proofs for each one of them go as follows. Kastim dichtiv. The pasuk says, "Hein eretz kastim zeh ha'om lo'hayu v'gomer." This land of Kastim, this was a nation that was not. Meaning, in other words, they don't deserve to exist. And Rashi says, the pasuk is saying, "Halavai im lo'hayu." If only it had to be. If only they didn't have to exist. Marsha points out. You see, for example, every land, every country that's mentioned in Tanakh is named after the inhabitants of it. So you have Eretz Mitzrayim is named after the Mitzrayim. Eretz Canaan is named after the Canaanim. But Eretz Kastim, it's not called Eretz Kastim. Nearly always in Tanakh, it's called Bavel. So it's not even named for the people who live there because like they don't even deserve to be called a nation. So Hashem is saying, so to speak, I regret that I created them again in the sense that like they have no independent reason to exist. The Yetzer Hara, d'chtiv v'asher harayosi, Hashem says, regarding the Yetzer Hara, Hashem says that I did bad. Meaning, in other words, Hashem is saying that I caused the Yetzer, I created the Yetzer Hara, which causes people to do wrong things, and I did, Hashem says, so to speak, I did bad by that, so to speak, I should never have done that in the first place. The whole pasuk goes, and the Gemara is going to quote it in a couple of lines. By Yoy Mahu, Hashem says, on that day, Oisfat Seleah, I will gather up those who are lame, those who are limping because of their averus. And I will gather those who are pushed to all different places in Golos, and the ones that I did bad to. So in other words, Hashem is saying, why are there these lame, limping people, and why are they the ones who are pushed to all corners of the world? Is because Asher Harayosi, because I created a Yetzirah that got them into that situation. Golos, Dichtiv, the Pasuk says, Hashem is talking about how the Jewish people are in Golos, and he says, Va'ata mali foin um Hashem. Now Hashem says, what do I have to do here? In other words, I'm in Golos together with the Jewish people, because we know, and Hashem is saying, mali poi, what am I doing over here? Which is a lashon of charata, nu'um Hashem. So says Hashem, that my people have been taken into Golos. So therefore, Hashem is, so to speak, saying that I regret that there even has to be a concept of Golos in the first place. And Yishmael, Dichtiv, as the Pasuk says, Yishloyu Oyhalim Lashoydidim, the tents are a peaceful place for the robbers. This is actually refers to, so the Arabs, they live like the Bedouins in tents, and they graze their sheep, they're nomads, they move from one place to another in their tents. Uvatuchos, and it's a peaceful, comfortable existence. Lamar gize kale for the ones who anger Hashem. So in other words, the pasuk is describing them, these people who live in tents and they earn their living by robbery. As we know, Yishmael is famous for that. We know when the Eved offered the Torah to all the nations and he offered to Yishmael, they turned it down because of Lo Signov. And the pasuk is calling them Margize Kale, the ones who anger Hashem. And the pasuk finishes off, it actually points out, the pasuk ends, L'asher hevi elikabi yodoi, the one whom Hashem brought in his hand. In other words, the pasuk is saying, how comes it that there are these Yishmaelim who anger Hashem? Because I myself brought them into existence. Marsha points out also, we have, when Hashem tells Avraham, you're going to have a son Yitzchak, and Ibris is going to be with him. So Avraham says, Lu Yishmael, Yichil Afanecha, if only Yishmael would be able to live before you. In other words, be good to Yishmael since he's my son as well. So now Hashem is saying that, look, all Avraham asked for is Lu Yishmael Yichya, that he should live. Hashem himself, on his own, added that they ended up becoming great and powerful, as he promised Avraham over there. So therefore, Hashem is, so to speak, blaming himself that I'm the one who created this whole situation by giving them even more greatness than Avraham even asked for. So those are the four things. Again, we're saying that they have no independent existence of their own. They exist only for the sake of something else that Hashem created them for, and therefore, in that sense, like they themselves are not an independent existence. It's interesting, by the way, that the Gemara doesn't mention over here Edom, Esav, where in many ways they were worse to us than the Kastim and the Yishmaelim. One possibility is especially based on what Maharal is saying, that we're talking about things that Hashem created, which like have no independent existence of their own. Esav, to a certain extent, has a right to exist on his own. He is, after all, a brother of Yaakov, Haloi Och Esav Yaakov, Nuum Hashem, and they have, as the Gemara tells us in Avodah Zarah, they have accomplished a tremendous amount for human civilization. You have those whole thing the Gemara tells over there about how Hashem takes all the nations to judgment, and each one he asks, what have you accomplished? And the Romans talk about the roads they built and the bridges they built and so on and so forth, and they really advanced civilization, so therefore they don't belong in the same category as the Kastim and Yishmaelim, as we're saying over here. Okay. Speaking of this pasuk of Asher Hari Oisi, the Gemara says, Amar Rav Acha bar Chanina, or different girsa, Rav Yochanan, Il Mole Shloisha Mikrois Halalu, had it not been for the following three psukim, nismotetu ragloyen shal sen'ein shal Yisrael, the feet of the enemies of the Jewish people, which means, of course, the Jewish people themselves, would have stumbled. In other words, we'd have no leg to stand on when it comes in front of the Beis Din Shamayla. Now, the result, as we have the ideas that Hashem expresses in these three psukim, it doesn't completely exonerate a person for following his Yetzirah, but it gives a certain mitigating factor that at least we have a certain leg to stand on in front of Hashem's judgment. One is the pasuk we said where Hashem said, I will gather up the ones who are limping and I'll bring together the ones who were pushed out to the sides into Golos, and the ones to whom I did bad. In other words, again, that Hashem So Hashem is saying that that I, since, as we just said, Hashem is saying, so to speak, I regret creating the Yetzer Hara, then Hashem is also expressing in this pasuk the idea, it's kind of my fault that these people are nidocha, are tseleya and nidocha, and therefore that at least gives a certain limud schus in front of the base in Shamayla, because Hashem himself created the Yetzer Hara and made it so difficult for them. The idoch, another pasuk is hine kachomer biyada yotzer. Hashem says, just like the clay in the hands of the potter, kain atim biyadi beis Yisrael, so are you in my hands, house of Yisrael. This is where we get the piyot on Yom Kippur night that we say hine kachomer biyada yotzer comes from this pasuk. The context is Hashem tells the Navi, Hashem tells Yirmiyah to go to the potter. And he sees how the potter is busy forming clay into a keli. Then the keli gets ruined. It doesn't come out the shape that he wanted. So he takes the clay and reshapes it to make the keli. And Hashem says, look, you know, Kainatim biyodi, beis Yisrael. After all, I have the ability to reshape your actions however you want, however I want. So that's also a limud schos on us, that Hashem has the ability anytime he wants to take away our Yetzer Hara and reshape us the way that he wants us. The idach and the third one, where Hashem says, "Vasiroisias leva evan b'psalchem," I'll take away the heart of stone from your flesh. This is, we said before, that one of the names of the Yetzer Hara is the stone. So Hashem is saying, I have the ability, and there will come a time when I will take away the heart of stone and put in other words, and take away the Yetzer Hara. So that also gives a certain limud schus that it's not entirely our fault, in the sense that Hashem himself is the one who put the stone there and can remove it anytime he wants. Rapapa says you have another pasuk also where Yechezkel continues in Hashem's name. Hashem says, I will place my spirit within you. In other words, not just Sur Meira, that Hashem will take away the Yetzer Hara, but that Hashem will replace it with Ruchi. That shows, in other words, that Hashem has the ability to do it at any time, and therefore that's a certain limud schus on a person when he follows his Leva Ed. The Aruch HaNer points out these three psukim kind of go together. You think about it. After all, a craftsman, when he makes something, if he doesn't make it in the right shape or whatever, then yeah, he reforms it. So Hashem, who starts off with the pasuk saying Vasher Harayosi, so you have to ask, so why doesn't he just reshape us like in the second pasuk? And the answer is he should, by right. A craftsman who takes pride in his work, you would expect him to do that. Nevertheless, Hashem doesn't until he decides that it's time, and therefore all these three psukim taken together are a certain limud schos on the Jewish people. We talked before in this sugya about Mashiach ben Yosef. We started this whole thing by saying that La'asid Lover, there's going to be a tremendous mourning, and the Gemara had discussed two possibilities, what it is. One is that Mashiach ben Yosef is going to be killed, and the other is that the Yetzer Hara is going to be killed, and that led us into this whole discussion about the ins and outs of the Yetzer Hara. So now, getting back to Mashiach ben Yosef, now the Gemara says, you have the Pasuk, the Novi Zechariah says, Vayar eni Hashem arbor choroshi. Hashem showed me four craftsmen. So Maninu Dalad Kharoshim. So who are these four craftsmen? Omrab Khanaba Bizna, Omrab Shimon Chasida, Zem Mashiach ben David, or Mashiach ben Yosef, the Eliyahu, the Koyan Sen. Four people. Why are they called Kharoshim? So Rashi explains Mashiach ben David and Mashiach ben Yosef are both going to be building the third base of Mikdash, Shimonim Mehed of Yemen. Therefore, they're craftsmen who help build a building. Eliyahu Anobi built the Mizbeach and Harakamo. Koyen Sedek, Rashi explains, refers to Shem ben Noach. We find a medrash. Rashi refers to a medrash. Now you have a posuk in Yeshaya. We have a section of Yeshaya that's read as the Haftarah for Parshas Lech Lecha, because you have in Lech Lecha, you have the war of Avraham against the four kings, and you have the whole part over there where he took dirt and straw and threw it at them, and it became spears and arrows and whatnot, and that's hinted at in the psukim over there in Yeshaya. So we read that section of Yeshaya as the Haftarah of Parshas Lech Lecha, and a few psukim later, you have a posuk by Yechazik Chorosh as Tzoreth. The craftsman strengthens and encourages the smith. Now, in context, the posuk is talking about that the goyim are nervous. They see that they're about to be conquered and defeated, so they start making for themselves new getchkes, and one person is encouraging the other to hurry up the work and make the nicest getchke they can. But the medrash explains that the chorosh and the tzoref refers respectively to Shem and Avraham. So they are also in Parshas Lech Lecha. You have that Avraham comes to Malkut Tzedek Melech Shalim, comes out and greets Avraham, and we know that Malkut Tzedek is Shem. So he's called Chorosh, and he's called Chorosh because Rashi explains he helped build the Teva together with Noach. Meanwhile, Avraham is called the Tzoref because he was refined. A Tzoref is a smith who refines gold or silver, and Avraham was refined in the fire of Ur Kasdim. So Chorosh refers to Shem, and Tzoref refers to Avraham. And you may chazek Chorosh as Tzoref means when Malki Tzedek, when Shem came out to greet Avraham and strengthen and encouraged him. So we see that Shem is called a Chorosh, and Rashi explains because he helped Noach build the Teva. There is what?
Two Mashiach come at the same time.
So that's what we talked about before. There's Mashiach ben Yosef, and then he's going to be killed, and then Mashiach ben David is going to take over. And we talked about the possibility that Mashiach, there are Sfarim that talk about that Mashiach ben Yosef doesn't necessarily have to be an actual separate person. It can be a neshama that is incorporated into Mashiach ben David, and that Mashiach ben David, in other words, will have both of those minds. But even if we assume that it means two people, it means Mashiach ben Yosef will begin the job of Bona Mikdash ben Mekaymai, and then he's killed in Mochamas Gog and Magog, and Mashiach ben David finishes it. What? Avraham is called Tzoref because Tzoref comes with it's from the word refining. You have different psukim that talk about where the word Tzoref means refining. And Avraham was refined, the Medrash explains, he was refined in the fire that Nimrod threw him into and cast him, and therefore he's called Tzoref. Meanwhile, Shem is called Chorosh because, as Rashi says, he helped Noach build the Teva. So he's a carpenter, he's a craftsman. Mind you, by the way, there was a sicha where the Rebbe talks about that on a pshat level, on a ben chomish lemikra level, not necessarily did anybody help Noach build the Teva. The Rebbe talks over there in a sicha about why it is on a pshat level that it took Noach 120 years to build the Teva. And part of the answer is because Taka Hashem told him alone to build it, implying that nobody helped him. So on a pshat level, he was the only one. But on a drash level, Rashi is bringing over here with the medrash that Shem helped him out. Anyway, so those are the four choroshim. Marsha points out another angle on it also. The word choroshim, we find sometimes, means top-level chachamim, where you have when it talks about the chorosh v'hamaskil, you have the top-level talmid chachamim who were taken into Golus Bavel 11 years before Churban Bayis Rishon, and they're called chorosh, become the Lashon Cheresh, because when they speak, when they say something in Torah, everybody else is quiet, because nobody can say anything against what they're saying, because they know it all. So therefore, the Abba Choroshim can also refer to four high-level talmid chachamim like that. As far as Kohen Tzedek, so here Rashi is saying that Kohen Tzedek refers to Malki Tzedek. Eitz Yosef over here brings something from the Sefer Asorah Ma'amores, who says that actually it refers to one of the Kohenim descended from Aaron, who's actually going to be a Gilgal of Aaron. Eitz Yosef over here quotes the Asorah Ma'amores that Amar Mifana was saying that it means Ezra, but actually in the actual Sefer Asorah Ma'amores, he doesn't necessarily say it's Ezra. He just says, for example, someone like Ezra. So whatever, according to that, Kohen Tzedek is some very high-level Kohen from the descendants of Aaron. Anyway, Maskifot of Sheshes. So those are the Abba Haroshim, in short, four great tzaddikim in history. But Maskifot of Sheshes, Ihochi. So if so, you're going to tell me that the Abba Haroshim are four tzaddikim. What about the next pasuk continues? The Malach who's showing Zechariah these various visions says to him, Ela HaKronos Asher Zeruas Yehuda. These are the horns, these are the powers that scattered Yehuda. So what do you mean? These four tzaddikim, just the opposite. Hani Yisruvi, Mosvi, Yehuda. These four tzaddikim are restoring Yehuda to their rightful place. They're not the ones scattering them. So what do you mean the Abba Haroshim are these four great tzaddikim? Amalei, sort of Shimon, sort of Chana Babizna answers, Shofel Sefer Dekra. Look at the end of the pasuk. After it mentions Ela Akronas Asher Zeruas Yehuda, the pasuk continues, Vayavoyu Ela Lahachrid Oysam Begomer. These four tzaddikim are coming to terrify them and to get rid of them. In other words, the pasuk is saying like this. First, you have in a few pasukim before that, you have Zechariah sees arba kronos, v'hine arba kronos. I see four horns representing four powers, and the Malach tells him these represent the four malchias that have dispersed and scattered the Jewish people. Then Hashem shows him the arba haroshim. The point is, they're like, so to speak, the carpenters, the craftsmen who go and who come and destroy those horns and restore the Jewish people to what they should be. So the Ela HaKronos is not referring to the Choroshim. The Malach is telling him, you have the Kronos that you saw before. Now you should know the Choroshim are coming to destroy the Kronos. So Shesha says, why am I even bothering to argue against Chana, against Rav Chana Bar Bizna? In Agadta, he obviously knows it a lot better than I do. I'm not going to be able to refute him. The Aruch HaNer makes a point, actually, if we analyze about each one of these tzaddikim, we find each one of them has an association with one of the particular yesodis, Eish Mayim Ruach HaNofer, and he shows how that is. Eliyahu, for example, involving Eish Min HaShemayim, and Koyin Tzedek, which is Shein Ben Noyach, has to do with water, and so on and so forth, and therefore they counteract the Arba Kronos, who also represent the four different cardinal directions, and each one of them also represents one of the four yesodis, and therefore they counteract them. Another pasuk talking about groups of tzaddikim, the Navi Micha says, "V'hoya zeh shalom." There is going to be this peace, Ashur ki yove ba'artzenu, if Ashur, or the kingdom of Ashur, the kingdom of Sancheirev, who had taken the Aseres HaShvatim into Golos, if they come into our land, if they come and invade our land, v'chi yidrech ba'amineseinu, or if they set foot in our palaces, v'akimoinu olav shiva royim u'shmoinu nesichei adam, then we will set up against him, to fight against him, seven shepherds and eight princes of people. So who are they? Maninu zayin royim. So David ba'emza, you have David HaMelech is in the middle. He's the centerpiece of these seven. Odom Sheis and Mr. Shalach Miyaminoi. On the right side of him are Odom Sheis and Mr. Shalach, Avraham, Yaakov, and Moshe Mismoiloi. And on the left are Avraham, Yaakov, and Moshe. Rashi says, I don't understand. Why Davka these seven? Out of all the great figures in history, why Davka these seven? So Rashi says, I don't really know why. As far as where Yitzchak is, we have Avraham and Yaakov, but we're missing Yitzchak. There, Rashi says there's a reason, because you have a Gemara in Shabbos that tells us that that Yitzchak goes to save the Jewish people from Dina Shel Gehenim. The Gemara describes over there a whole thing where Hashem says to Avraham about the Jewish people, Yimochu Akdushas Shmecha, where Hashem says to Avraham, your children have sinned, Banecha Chotu, and Avraham says, fine, Yimochu Akdushas Shmecha, and Yaakov says the same thing. Meanwhile, Yitzchak stands up to defend the Jewish people and gives Hashem a whole argument to argue that when you think about it, in an average person's lifetime, there's not really very much time for Averis, and to the extent that there is, I'll take it on myself, because after all, I'm an Ola Tmima and all that. So therefore, so Yitzchak isn't on this list because he has a different job. Marsha points out that you have Avraham, you also have the seven royim can be related over here to the seven koichve leches, the seven moving bodies in the sky, the sun, the moon, and five, and then the five visible planets. So David is in the center, just like the sun is the centerpiece of all of those, and Malchus based David is compared to the sun. So therefore, he's the most important. As far as that they're called Royim, most of them, Taka worked as shepherds. We know that David worked as a shepherd when he was young. So did Yaakov, so did Moshe. And you have a Shase was instead of Hevel, and Hevel was a Roy at Zion. So they can be called Royim in that sense, that they actually worked as shepherds in their lifetime in this world. The Aruch HaNer also makes a point. He says that after all, you know, each one of them is also standing up on behalf of making sure to deal with the Rishoyim of his times. Whereas we find, why is Yitzchak missing? Because we find he didn't even know what Esav was up to. Therefore, he doesn't belong on this list. Then who are the eight princes of men? Yishai, Vishol, Ushmuel, V'Omos, Svanya, Chizkiyahu, Ve'eliyahu, U'Mashiach. And in the footnote over here, it says that in the Gemara, instead of Chizkiyahu, it has Tzidkiyahu, the last king of Yehuda, who the Gemara mentions in various places, was a great tzaddik, even though he wasn't moicha in the people in his time, and therefore the Pasuk brands him as a Rosha, but really the Gemara explains in various places that he was a great tzaddik. So it doesn't give the name of Mashiach, no. So again, Rashi says, I don't know, Taka, why these eight are singled out as the Nesichei Adam. Marsha says just apparently the Gemara had the Kabbalah that these seven are going to come together with Malach Mashiach. There's a mimer of the Alter Rebbe, I think in Parshas Baal Oyscha, that talks about the Tzemach Tzedek talks about it in Mitzvahs Ner Chanukah, that the idea is the Shiva Royim are the ones who bring Elikus b'pnimius into a person. That's why they're called royim. A shepherd pastures his sheep and provides them with food, the same way the shiva royim bring in elikus into each one of us. Meanwhile, the nesichei adam, being especially, they include, for example, Yishai, who we know never did any averus in his lifetime. He's one of the few that meisu be'et yeshal machash. So we're talking about a different level of tzaddikim, where they bring makifim to us. They bring the ur makif to us, and therefore, and you have the idea that ur makif, you have the expression in Kabbalah, ur makif mesame in achitzonim, that completely blinds the chitzonim. The idea being that Alter Rebbe develops the idea over there that what we get from the Shiva Royim can, after all, you can have a unikal chitzonim from it. You have the chitzonim can parasitize it and take off it, and then you have the Shmon and Asicha Bnei Adam, who are on a higher level than that. They bring in an Ur Makif, where the chitzonim are not able to touch that bichlal, and that's why you have eight of them as compared to seven as compared to the Shiva Royim.
He's not mentioning Aaron.
He's not mentioning Aaron, it's true. And there are places in Chassidus where it talks about that Aaron is the one who was Mashpia to us together with Moshe. So yeah, the fact is, I think it's also mentioned in some of these places that there are different, the Zohar actually has a bit of a different list of the Shiva Royim, and I believe the Zohar's list includes Aaron, Taka. So apparently there are different understandings of who the Shiva Royim are exactly.
I'll try to look the same.
Yeah, so certainly he says, in other words, the same way as we're saying that David is the centerpiece of the seven, the same way Mashiach is the centerpiece of the eight, and they had the Kabbalah that each of these other ones also had a certain sroro, nesichos. Each of them had a certain rulership during his lifetime, which is why he can be called nesiche, the princes of Bnei Adam, and they had the Kabbalah that these seven are going to accompany Mashiach. Yeah. Okay. Further on, the Gemara talks about the Gemara continued getting back to Simchas Beis HaSheva. So the Gemara talks about, and again, you have the pieces here in Ein Yaakov are a bit out of order in the Gemara. So you have first the Gemara talks about the Mishnah had mentioned the Chassidim va'anshei Maisa are dancing and singing there by Simchas Beis HaSheva in the Beis Mikdash and saying Shiddus with Tishbachos. And then the Gemara brings in what Hillel HaZaken would do by Simchas Beis HaSheva. Hillel, the Gemara tells us in Shabbos, became Nasi 100 years before Churban Bayis Sheni, and he was Nasi for 40 years, so his entire Nasius was during the time of the second Beis Mikdash, so every year he was able to attend Simchas Beis HaSheva. And so the next piece, actually, again, we have them out of order over here, but Oislam and Zion is going to say what he said by Simchas Beis HaSheva. So then, while it's mentioning that, then the Gemara mentions other things that Hillel said as well. This we have in Pirkei Avos, that Hillel one time saw a skull or a head floating on the water. Omalo, he says to it, Al da ateft atfuch, because you drowned others, then you would drown. Rashi says that he recognized that it was a certain known ritzeach. So he's saying, because you killed and drowned other people, therefore you got drowned. The seif metayfayich yitufun. In the end, those who drown you are going to be drowned as well. Meaning, in other words, on a pshat level, it means exactly that. In other words, they didn't drown you because they're trying to do good and get rid of the archa aramikirbecha. They did it for their own selfish reasons, and therefore, eventually, they deserve to be punished as well. Al-Derech, like, for example, the way that Amram talks about with the Mitzriim, why it is that they deserve punishment if the Eibishter said that the Ba'avodim v'inu oisam, because they're not doing it because the Eibishter said so. They're doing it for their own selfish reasons. So therefore, so Hillel is expressing that idea as well. Ayin Tach Zayin, you have in this parasha, is a vaguely similar idea, yeah. Okay. Marsha says, after all, you know, conceivably, you also have, we know that the Gemara mentions in Makos, you also have the case where a person kills B'shoigig and another one kills B'mezid, and the Eibishter arranges that the one who killed B'shoigig winds up killing B'shoigig again in front of Edim and goes to the Orem Miklat, and the one who killed B'mezid ends up getting killed. So here, you could have the same thing, but the Loshen, B'soif Metayfayich Yitufon, doesn't really suggest that, because it suggests more that it was B'mezid. There's a lot of different explanations about that. First of all, Eitz Yosef points out, Maisim B'chol Yom, you have lots of times that Rotzchim get away with it and nobody ends up drowning or killing them. So in fact, the Medrash says that point, that it means that they're going to be dealt with L'Osid Lava. But so here, Hillel is saying that it'll be dealt with in Olam Hazeh, but sometimes it's not, sometimes it only gets dealt with in Olam Haba. Ion Yaakov points out another possible meaning he brings from Medrash Shmuel on Pirkei Avos that he says that it means not necessarily. He says, "Al da teif da tfuch, because you drowned others, therefore you were drowned." But instead, it might be, it's always conceivable, unlike what Rashi is saying, that he recognized the guy and knew that he was a Ritzeach. Another possibility is, after all, maybe not. Maybe it was an innocent person who was drowned. So therefore he's saying, if that's so, then besoich my taifayach yitufun, then those who drowned you, where you were an innocent person, they deserve that yitufun. There's also a pshat that says on it, it's brought in various svarim. The first one who seems to have said it was Rabbeinu David, the grandson of the Rambam, that he learns that actually the skull, this head or the skull that Hillel saw was none other than the skull of Parei Melech Mitzrayim. So he's saying, "Al da'atef," because you drowned Jews in the Nile in Mitzrayim. So therefore, atfuch, you ended up getting drowned in the Yamsuf. And in the end, anybody who acts like you and drowns others is also going to drown, because anybody who attacks the Jewish people eventually gets what's coming to them. So there's a lot of different explanations of what Hillel was expressing with this idea.
The question is, even if he did kill somebody, even then,
that's the point. The first way of looking at it is because the people who killed him, right? Because of course. So that's one way, but I'm saying on the most basic chat level, mm-hmm. Hillel is saying those who killed you, they're not doing it. They didn't do it because they wanted to do a mitzvah of getting rid of a ritzeach. They were doing it for their own selfish reasons, and therefore, just like the Mitzriim who persecuted the Jews and then got punished, even though the Eibishter had promised it, so also these mitayfayich yitufun, because they didn't do it for the right reason. So yeah, there's a lot of different explanations and possibilities over here. The Rebbe points out in the Sicha, actually following that explanation, that the skull that he saw was the one of Paroi, then where is Hillel any place where he's going to Bederech HaTeva see Paroi's skull? Either it's in the Yamsuf, and we don't ever find Hillel being anywhere near there, or it's according to the famous Medrash that says that Hillel, that Paroi afterwards became the king of Nineveh, and he's the one who was there when Yonah was there, then fine, Hillel's nowhere near there either, so obviously it means that the Eibishter arranged specially that he should see the skull in order to be able to say this point. So that's one point, is Rabbeinu David, the Rambam's grandson, when he brings this chat, he explains it means v'soif, and similarly, anybody who acts like you and the taifayich, anybody who does the same kind of thing that you did, drowning Jews, yitufun is going to get drowned as well. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, so now Rabbi Yochanan says, this also in connection with something that Hillel says in the next piece over here, in Oslam and Zion, Hillel says an expression that with a place that I love, my feet take me. So then in that connection, Rabbi Yochanan says, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Raglohi debar inish inun areven bay. A person's feet are his arevim, they're his guarantors, la'asra demisbi, in the place where he's wanted, in the place where Hashem has decided that he's going to die, l'saman mevilim yoseh, his feet take him there. In other words, the Eibishter arranges, even though a person may not have any particular plans to go to a certain place, but the Eibishter arranges in his own ways that person will come there when it's time for him to go. And to illustrate that, the Gemara tells the following story. With that said, by the way, even though that is the pshat in the Gemara, there is an interesting story involving the Tzemach Tzedek and one of his chassidim. It's told in Sipur Chassidim. This chassid used to regularly travel every year on business. He would first visit his malamed in a town near Lubavitch, and then he'd go on to his business. So one year, he ends up leaving later than normal, and he's thinking, actually, so what he'd do is first he'd go to Lubavitch for Yechidus with the Tzemach Tzedek, then he'd go visit his old malamed in a town near there, and then he'd go to his business. One year, he's running late, so he thinks, I'll go to Yechidus, and then I'll go directly to my business, but the Tzemach Tzedek tells him, no, go visit your malamed like you always do. Akitzur, the guy takes sick over there. He winds up laid up in bed for several weeks. He misses the whole Yerid, everything. And afterwards, he comes to the Tzemach Tzedek with a complaint that you ruined my parnosa for the year. And the Tzemach Tzedek quotes in this Gemara and said the word misbi'i is also maloshen boi, as in davening. It means not just the Eibishter sends a person to the place where it's destined that he's going to die. The Eibishter sends a person to the place where it's destined that there will be someone who will daven for him. Your Malamed over there in Dabramishol davened for you that you should stay alive, and that's what kept you alive. Had it not been for that, you would have gone on to the fair. You would have gotten sick. There wouldn't have been anybody there. And then, Anyway, so the Gemara illustrates this with the following story. There were two Kushim who stood as ministers in front of Shlomo. Rashi explains that Kushim It doesn't literally mean kushim as in dark-skinned people. It means faket. They were handsome people. Al-Darach, like we have by Miriam, Al-Odisa Isha Akushis Ashalokach, talking about Tzipora, where Rashi explains over there, means that Tzipora was beautiful. So similarly, these two guys are handsome guys. Marsha explains the reason why we would say that, what makes us say that, is because since the Gemara is going to say that the Malach HaMavis was upset, Shlomo doesn't know why, he thought maybe the Malach HaMavis is upset, such two handsome people that they should have to die. It's a pity that such beauty should go away from the world. So therefore the Gemara calls them Kushoi. Anyway, their names were Elichoda Fachia Bnei Shisha Sofrim. The Pasuk, when it lists all of Shlomo's top ministers, it mentions there were two brothers named Elichoda Fachia, the sons of Shisha, who were Shlomo's scribes. Their father, Shisha, appears in a few different forms in Sefer Shmuel and in Divrei Hayamim. He's called Sroya or Shavsha or Shiva or whatever. So their father had worked for David, and now they too worked in the same capacity for Shlomo. Anyway, Yom Echad Chazya L'Malach HaMavis Da'ava Otziv. One day, Shlomo saw the Malach HaMavis looked upset. Omalei Amai Atziv. So he asked the Malach HaMavis, what's the matter? Omalei, so he said, Yikom Misbi Minayit Hadi Trei Kushoi. I was told by Hashem that I have to take these two Kushoi, D'Yas V'Hocha, who are living over here, and I can't. But he doesn't say why he can't. So Shlomo realizes their lives are in danger. So Masrinu l'Seirim. So Shlomo gave over these two, the two scribes, the Chorif and Achia, to the Seirim, to the Shadim. We know, as Rashi points out, that Shlomo ruled over the Shadim as well. So he sent them with two Shadim. Amalahu, Amtunu or Shadrinhu l'Mechuzah de Luz. Go take them to the area of Luz. You have the famous city of Luz. The Gemara in Sota tells us that nobody in that city ever died. The history behind it, the Gemara tells us in Sota, based on Psukim in Sefer Shmuel, is when Shevet Yosef was busy conquering their territory in Eretz Yisrael, they came across a city, Luz, which they had no way of, they couldn't figure out how to get into the city. It turns out there was a secret entrance. They finally saw a guy comes out of the city, and they ask him to show them where the entrance is. And the Gemara has in Sota, Machlokas, either that he made like a movement with his lip, or he pointed with his finger. He didn't even actually say any words, but he showed them there's a secret entrance in and out of the city. The word Luz means a hazelnut tree. They actually had a hollow trunk of the tree that they would go in and out of the city through there. So they were able to invade the city and take it over and conquer it. And this guy and his family, they let him. They told him, "You can go free as a schus for having shown us the way." The Gemara learns from there the greatness of Levoya, of showing guests the proper way to go. Anyway, so he went, the Gemara, the Pasuk says, he went to Eretz Achitim and he built the city and named it Luz after his old city. So the Gemara says over there, the city of Luz, among other things, is immune to the Malach HaMavis. No person ever dies in the city. When a person in that city is old and tired of life, he leaves the city and then he dies there. So now Shlomo figures, if these two, Elichodef and Achiyah, if their lives are in danger, if the Malach HaMavis is gunning for them, let me send them to Luz. And that way they'll be safe from him over there. Well, Kimotu Abava, as they came to the gate of Luz, Shchivu, they passed away before they entered the city. L'mochel Chazi l'Malach HaMavis, to have a kabadach. The next day, Shlomo sees the Malach HaMavis is laughing. Omalei Amai kabadicha, so he asked him, what are you laughing? Omalei, so the Malach HaMavis says, you played right into my hands. Han Hechadi Bo Minai, Hosim Shadartinu. I was supposed to take their neshamas right there outside of Luz, and you helped me out by sending them with the Shadim to there. So, Faket, if you had kept them here in Yerushalayim, then I wouldn't have been able to get them, which is why I was upset yesterday. You played right into my hands. Miyad posach Shlomo v'omer. So right away, Shlomo replied and said the expression that Yochanan had just said, Raglohi debar inish inun arvin bay. A person's feet are his guarantors. La asra de misbe in the place where Hashem wants him to be, that he should die over there. La salmon mevilin yase, his feet take him there, even though he doesn't know why he's going there. But Hashem has his reasons, and Hashem has his calculations how he makes it happen. So this story bears out what Rabbi Yochanan was saying. The Yerushalmi, he mentions over here, Gamba Yerushalmi Masechta, the Yerushalmi in Ksubas tells the story also with a little bit of variation. It's that when Shlomo realizes these two are in danger, he has the Shadim carry them up into space. And then the Malach HaMavis gets them over there, and the rest of the story is basically the same. The point is, you can't outwit the Eidish there. That's the bottom line. Have a conversation with Malach HaMavis, yeah, a conversation with Ashmedai, the king of the Shadim, yeah, that's it. Yeah. Okay. Yom Yom Mashiach Ha'Golach Ha'Vav Shvat, speaking of, we just said that Shlomo was ruling over everything, including the Shadim. So now let's talk about Mashiach ruling over everyone. The pasuk says on him, "V'yerd mi yom an yom, he'll rule from sea to sea, or mi nahar and from the river and afsei aretz until the ends of the earth." You know, you have all the anti-Semites now going from the river to the sea. So here we have Fakir from the river to the sea. Mashiach will be ruling. Anyway, Rashi in Parshas Balak. So Rashi in Parshas Balak explains that the pasuk is talking about Melech Mashiach. He brings over there in connection with Bilam's last nevuah that it's talking about that Mashiach. It says, "V'yerd mi yom an yom." Zechariah also, in a number of his nevuahs, talks about Melech HaMashiach, and he uses the same expression, Hine Malkech Yovelach, your king is going to come to you, Oni Vereich HaVachamer, and he describes him, Moshle Miyom Ad Yom, his rulership will be from sea to sea, Omi Nahar Adaf Se'aretz, and from the river until the ends of the earth. And the Rambam brings this also, that when Bilam says, V'karka Kol B'nei Sheis, he'll destroy all of the B'nei Sheis, it refers to Melech HaMashiach, and he brings the same pasuk, Moshle Miyom Ad Yom. So it means, preposterous, exactly that. Melech HaMashiach will be ruling over and dominating the entire world. What do we mean by Yom El Yom? I mean, Yom Ad Yom. The Eben Ezra explains over there. It means from the Red Sea to all the way until the ocean, and from the Nahar, which is the Nahar Yotzei Me'Eden, the river that flows out of Gan Eden, which is in the east, all the way Ad Afsei Aretz till the ends of the west. So Mashiach will literally dominate and rule over the entire world. Halachas, we're beginning a new simon in Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, simon Ayin Tes, the dinim of Mafter. So you say Chatzi Kaddish before Mafter. The Sefer Torah that you just read from, as well as the one that you're going to be reading from Mafter, should both be on the Bima, and therefore when you have two Sefer Torah, then you put them both on the Bima. When you have three, you don't have to put down the first one, because you're saying Kaddish between the second and the third one. You don't start the Brachas of Aftorah until after the Sefer Torah is completely wrapped up. The idea behind it says in the big Shulchan Aruch, the idea is because you want the Gerlo to also be able to pay attention to the Haftarah, and if he's busy covering the Sefer Torah, if he's busy putting on the Gartel and the mantle and the crown and all that, then he's not going to be able to focus on the Haftarah.